Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Good morning. Up and rise and shining, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Away, beautiful Stop balloon. That.
I got fumbled because you are dancing and there's crummy music. I don't know how you dance to that. It's good music.
Why did you choose that music?
Well, no,
it should be danceable.
No, it's good for the open of a program. It's been our theme music for 21 years.
I know, but she and I have been dancing for, what is it now, 10
or
11 years?
No, she was dancing by herself. It's just not danceable music. But welcome, folks. You would think we wouldn't start a show off like this, but
we
we're doing this. In fact, we talked about this on the edition of Beautiful You the other day, in that we have comments all the time, sometimes multiple times a week, saying, boy, you guys do have a good time.
Yes,
you laugh a lot, you know?
I decided many years ago, there are two reasons to do anything in business, fun and profit. And if you're having enough fun, you'll put up with less profit. And if you're making enough profit, you'll put up with less fun. The ideal, of course, is you want fun and profit. And if you're not having fun or profit, you need to ask yourself, what the heck are you doing it for?
That's right.
That's so true.
That's right. So, folks, for all of you very sophisticated and staid and sullen people that don't appreciate our bad humor, we apologize, kind of, but not really. We
That's
just
right.
are going to continue to be the way we are. Every Saturday morning, we usually start off with a little information, since the pandemic, obviously, about the virus. And there's some new stuff coming down the road.
There's new stuff. We've got, you know, several variants of the virus out now.
We do indeed.
The last few have been the British variant, which apparently is more infectious. Might be slightly more dangerous, but if so, not by much. Mm-hmm. The Brazilian variant, which again is more infectious, but we have no idea about virulence. And then the new African strain.
Mm.
Now, the British and the Brazilian versions, Moderna and Pfizer both say that their vaccine will handle those two just fine. No problems.
Correct, yeah.
The African version, on the other hand, I haven't seen data from Pfizer yet, but Moderna is saying that the vaccine only makes about 1/6 as much antibody to the African variant. Now, according to Moderna, even though the antibody level is reduced by 5/6, they say it still would be within the World Health Organization criteria for an effective vaccine.
Interesting.
Because the World Health Organization only requires a vaccine to be 50% effective.
Well, it's like the flu shot, right?
Yeah, but some years it's 78%,
yeah.
Some
okay.
years it's 30-40%. Depends on the flu variant.
Right, right. Yeah.
In this case, they're saying it would still be about 50% effective, and so by WHO standards, it's equally effective. Compared to the 95%, not so much.
So the African strain is not here yet?
Has not yet been found in America.
Correct, yeah.
But it will get here, obviously.
Yeah, eventually, yeah. The British strain has been found here in Washington.
The British and the Brazilian strain.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Brazilian strain was found in Minnesota this past week. But the African strain Moderna has already engineered now a booster.
Oh, okay.
That is aimed specifically at the African variant.
Interesting. Now, I was also wondering, Jerry, what the impact of herd immunity will be on the newer strains.
And who knows?
Who knows, yeah. Yeah.
Because it's going to be a function of both B and T cell forms of immunity.
Yeah.
The B cell, we know there is less antibody to this strain. The T cell, however, we have not really tested. And let's face it, Africa doesn't have labs that are worth a hoot to really work these things out yet. I mean, it's basically second and third world countries.
Well, I can't wait to get back to Africa, but it's not going to be soon, apparently.
No, you don't want to go in the near future.
Right.
And besides, you know, as the guy said, the reason that COVID has not been is that, you know, Ebola is standing there at the airport and just says, I'm the virus here, you stay out. Really, Moderna says that they are already getting ready to produce a variant, a booster. Now, the question is, for your second shot, do you take the newer booster or the current second shot, or do you take the first two that we've now got and then you add a third one as a booster for the African variant?
Yeah.
True. Who knows?
Who knows yet?
Yeah.
Too early.
Too early to tell.
Ask me in a few months.
So you mentioned the British situation, which has gotten a little bit worse lately.
Mm-hmm.
We're planning on going to England for Christmas. Now, I know that's
11 months
away. Do you think there's going to be a problem for Christmas?
Not really. I mean, 11 months from now, one or two things will have happened. Either the vaccines will be a wide enough distribution to knock it down, or there will be enough people already naturally infected to have natural occurring herd immunity.
What about for us going there, though?
You're already vaccinated.
Well,
what are you worried
true.
About?
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
So, now, you may or may not need your booster for the African variant, depending on how widespread that becomes.
Gotcha.
Okay. So I'm not too worried about, you know, next Christmas. Mm. We'll handle that when we get there.
Okay. Well, my wife keeps bringing it up. Ask Jerry. Because we take our family, 15, 16, 17 of us, to different parts of the globe for Christmas. And so we're just curious.
Yeah, well, so am I, and I have no idea yet.
Okay. Well,
the infections are too new.
Yeah. Keep me in mind, because Vicky's going to keep hassling me, just for the record. So,
all right.
So there you go. So anything new that our listeners need to know about where we are right now in the state of Washington?
We are so far behind Texas and Florida, it's pathetic.
Why is that? I have been so frustrated. You know, I've had my first shot.
Yeah.
But trying to communicate with the hospital, it's like pulling teeth.
Yeah, and I've got all my front office people and calling saying, we've got all these people that are first, you know, they're 1Bs. Right. They're right out and can't seem to get their shots. No. You want me to get political and explain what's really going on?
I mean,
you've got very expensive Democrat governors, places with high taxes and anti-business attitudes, and they're very inefficient. And then you've got the low tax, very efficient state governments like Texas and Florida. You realize Texas is doing 500,000 vaccinations a day.
No kidding.
They do more in a day than Washington State has done since the beginning of the epidemic.
My goodness.
Okay. You know, I mean, Florida has more people and far more old people than New York. You realize that the budget in Florida, even though they have more people and more old people that need more services, is less than half the state budget of New York.
Just so bureaucracy?
Yeah, I mean, New York has a very, very expensive, very, very inefficient government. Florida and Texas have very efficient, inexpensive governments. And that efficiency crosses over into things like the epidemic.
Sounds like the efficiency actually saves lives.
Efficiency saves lives. Efficiency saves money. Efficiency leaves you more control over your own life. Yeah. So, you know, that's just the way it goes. Bigger, more expensive governments are not more efficient governments.
So I guess we just sit back and wait.
Or move to Texas. I mean, Florida actually for a month now has had people flying from Canada to get their COVID vaccines in Florida.
They allow that?
Yeah. You show up, they have mass vaccination centers, and you know, you show up, if you're 65 and over, you can get your vaccine.
My goodness.
Interesting.
My goodness.
Not fair, but interesting.
Well, fair for the people of Florida because they've got an efficient government that's distributing it well. We are Washington State. We don't do things very efficiently here, but we do it expensively.
We're proud of it, too, I'll tell
that's
you.
That's right. We have a lot of bureaucrats, and they're the best bureaucrats around. They just don't do jack, but they're good bureaucrats.
Yes, they have mastered bureaucracy. Anyway, okay, well, that is sad and frustrating. Virtually every friend I know that has had their first shot now, many have had their first shot if they've qualified, but they're all very frustrated no matter where they went, doesn't matter what hospital, doesn't matter what clinic. They're being given somewhat of a runaround because they don't know,
I know,
when they're going to get another supply. There's no communication.
Nobody knows. Yeah, nobody. Maybe the governor knows, but he ain't speaking to anybody. So, yeah. No, I was talking to a buddy last night down in Texas. And, we were kind of visiting about the situation. I said, hey, you know what? I may fly to Texas to get my second shot because I can probably go there and get it a lot faster than waiting around here. So
let me ask you this. If you've had your shot, they say you can have it within 24 to 32 days after.
Mm-hmm. 4 days on either side.
What if you miss it?
Who knows?
That window.
Who knows? When they did the study, there was 4 days on either side variance in their study. Okay. But for all we know, you might be able to wait 6 months after and get it.
Do it a week later.
Or do it a week. We don't know. Okay. Mm-hmm. All we know that within that 8-day window, you have equal effectiveness. We don't know that outside of that window it's ineffective. We don't know that it is. We just haven't studied it yet.
My goodness. Okay, well, I'm going to Texas pretty soon to do some more filming and stuff, but not soon.
Well, I don't know about this week, but as of 2 weeks ago, Texas had 200 vaccination sites at large clinics and hospitals, but then they had 28 sites that were doing 4,000 to 5,000 vaccinations a day at each of those 28 sites.
Good night.
Okay. And they were looking at opening more sites. So by now they may have 30 or 35 such sites. But as of 2 weeks ago, they had 28 sites doing 4,500 to 5,000 vaccinations at each site each day.
Okay. So who qualifies for a shot right now?
Where?
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Well, if you're talking about here,
yes, in Washington State.
Well, in theory,
yes.
All medical workers, all 1Bs, which means if you work in a medical clinic of any kind,
or a hospital,
or a nursing home, you can get your shot. Except that my people are calling every day and can't get their shots.
Yeah. Can't get them in.
So in theory.
And not only that, they were told not to call back.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Frustrating.
In fact, I've received several texts saying, don't call. Don't come by and don't call.
Yeah.
That's all they say.
So, you know, so in theory, all of my people at the clinic qualify for their shots. Okay. In practice, ain't no way in hell. And if you're somebody in the community and you're, 75, 80 years old, good luck. If you happen to check somewhere when they happen to have just gotten some vaccine that afternoon, you can probably get your shot.
Yeah. I've had a couple of friends literally roaming the community for like a day, going from place to place, hoping that when they go in, there'll be one left.
Yeah. Now, some people, I've told my patients to get on the lists wherever they are being seen. So, for example, Kaiser Permanente does have a list going, and patients that see their physicians regularly are being called for their turn. They were told their turn is, 2 to 3 weeks out or whatever. So some big institutions are contacting people, like, for example, University of Washington. But it's very difficult for outsiders to get in on their system.
Yeah. Yes.
I saw a blurb here a while back. King County is so frustrated with the state of Washington that they are looking at opening their own mass vaccination sites, trying to emulate what Texas is doing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
In King County.
Interesting.
In King County.
We'll see how that works.
Yeah.
Probably you have to sleep under a bridge and have needle marks on your arm to get on the list, but who knows?
That's right. That's right. And with that bit of information, thank you, guys. That was good. Okay, we need to go to a break, obviously. In fact, I'm a little late. Sorry about that, Jerry Berg, but here we go to a break. And when we come back, some more good information, and maybe we'll take a call or two.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Leading Edge Medicine. For the first time in history, you can choose how to age.
I went to the Linwood office, and I must tell you, your staff is so amazing. At Longevity, they talk to you. They make you understand what's going on, and they give you the numbers so you have a starting point. And that's what I love about coming to you guys.
You know I can be found. Sitting home all alone. If you can't come around, at least please telephone. Don't be cruel to who heart is true.
Stephanie, this is for you.
Baby, if I made you mad for something I might have said, please don't forget my
All bad. Right, there's the Elvis. See, Jerry, I told you we'd have Elvis. That's right. All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Pete Talbot. You're listening, yes, to Leading Edge Medicine. Just a little bit of information quickly. You can get a whole lot of information on our website. I hope you know that. We've got videos that are amazing. And I think later in our program today, we'll talk about some of those videos, but you can watch them all. They're free, of course, at lmclinic.com. For example, the Introduction to Longevity, the other one that is so popular, The Two Stages of Aging. Definitely, you got to watch these. Got to watch them. All of them are at lmclinic.com. And also, if you have a question, you can call. We've got a new number. We announced this last week, doing things a little bit different. 866-99-ASK-US. All right? 866-99-ASK-US. If you've got a question today, 866-99-ASK-US. And by the way, a lot of you patients of longevity, you can call that number. And if you want to give a testimonial, your experience at Longevity Medical Clinic. We all love hearing them. We really do. So if you have a question or if you want to just sort of talk about your experience at Longevity, 866-99-ASK-US. And with that in mind, let's go to a call.
All right, go to Seattle and talk to Patty. Hello, Patty. Thank you for holding.
Thank you. I was calling because I just turned 65 and had a routine DEXA scan, and my doctor has let me know that I have osteoporosis in my spine. The hip and neck are still osteopenia, and she's recommending that I take Fosamax, which I'm worried about. I don't like to take anything. I'm healthy. I'm weight height proportionate. I exercise all week long I've not supplemented calcium or vitamin D ever. So
calcium and vitamin D probably would not help much.
Yeah. This is a classic scenario, classic history, 65-year-old, postmenopausal. And that's the reason you're getting worsening of osteopenia into osteoporosis in the spine. And that will continue if you elect not to do hormone replacement therapy. And if you're looking for a safe option, in 2002, when the Women's Health Initiative study came out and they scared women out of their hormones because they said it's going to cause breast cancer, we know for a fact now that it wasn't really the estrogen that caused breast cancer. It was actually a synthetic progestin in the hormone replacement therapy that was the cause of their breast cancer. So, unfortunately, many women still shy away from hormone replacement therapy.
And too many doctors shy away from it, too.
I have been replacing hormones, and so I have all along. So that was one of the reasons I thought that I was protected from this.
Okay.
Do you have any idea what your estradiol levels are?
You mean the amount that I'm taking, or
the amount in your blood?
No, that's not been tested.
And tell us about what else do you do? What treatment are you on?
That's the only thing. Well, what, the progesterone and estrogen.
Okay, which hormones?
Estradiol and I think it's Prometrium.
Okay, so you're on progesterone. That's
and
good.
Estrogen. But are you on testosterone?
No.
Okay, so estrogen is a complex of hormones. It's not just one hormone. And we use, many physicians can use different types of estrogen based on your history. You want to make sure that you are taking at least some part of your estrogen from estradiol, okay? So it's estriol, estrone, and estradiol.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is that I'm taking.
But see, what you're taking and what's in your bloodstream may be a different question. You have to have enough. And if you're not measuring, you don't know how much you got.
Okay.
So you need to get your blood levels in an acceptable range. You also need to get your progesterone in an acceptable range. The estradiol slows bone loss. Okay. It inhibits the osteoclast formation, so you don't dissolve bone as fast. But the other side of that equation, that's why the doctor asked you about testosterone. The androgens stimulate new bone growth. And so if your androgen levels are low, you continue to dissolve bone faster than you're making it. So you need the androgens to stimulate new bone growth, the estrogens to inhibit bone loss, to shift that balance so that you make bone faster than you lose it. That's really what it comes down to.
Patty, did you say, Patty, that you are you haven't tested your estradiol levels in your blood?
That's what she said.
Yes,
no,
she has not.
I have not.
Yeah. Well, how can anybody prescribe it?
Well, they're doing it blindly, and that's the standard of care.
Yeah.
Usually, people just say, "Here, take this," and you give everybody a standard 0.625 milligram dose, and that's it.
Yeah. Oof.
And I consider that to be bad. Because I want to know how much is really in her system, how much is in her bloodstream. You know, that's what matters. It's not what you put in your mouth. It's not what you rub on your skin. It's what's in the bloodstream, because that's what's impacting your bones.
Sure. And then also, so, you know, one aspect is the hormone replacement therapy. The other is lifestyle and minerals and nutrients. You said you were good with the lifestyle, but you're not doing vitamin D or calcium. So I would enhance that also along with the hormone replacement therapy. And then, you know, to answer your question, which is, okay, should you do the Fosamax for osteoporosis or not? Well, the most appropriate thing is maintain your hormones at a good level, because it's the most natural thing to do. You're developing natural bone. If you do elect for other medications, like you said, they carry side effect risk, and that side effects can be quite horrific, and some people just don't tolerate it. But the bone structure itself is also not natural. So you may develop stronger bone, but if you break that bone, it's not going to be easy to fix it.
In other words, with the drug that she's taking... that she's advised, that it may harden but make more brittle.
Yes. Yeah, it actually makes the external, that surrounding cortex, it makes that hard.
Yes.
But it has a decreased blood supply, so you get a very hard cortex as you incorporate the Fosamax into the bone.
Yeah.
But the inner bone, that trabecular kind of a lattice work on the inside of the bone, that continues to thin, and so you've got an abnormal bone. It's stronger, it's harder, but if it breaks, it doesn't heal as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't break it as often, but when you do break it, it's more of a problem.
Okay.
Well, it's a trade-off.
Yes, for sure.
That is fascinating. Wow. Patty,
Patty, you have a couple of options here. You can either optimize your estradiol levels, and that'll be the most natural thing, and you are still in the age range where you can do it very, very safely. Shouldn't be a problem if done appropriately for you. And at the same time, consider the anabolic hormones. And in the cascade of hormones, DHEA is higher than both estrogen and testosterone and also will help you. So you have to, you know, pay attention to the whole picture and use testosterone as well.
Yeah. And don't forget the pregnenolone.
Yes.
Pregnenolone makes the dehydroepiandrosterone.
Testosterone and the what?
Pregnenolone, DHEA. Well, it's a hormone.
It's a DHEA. Okay.
Okay, pregnenolone, pregnenolone first, then below that DHEA, then the testosterone, then the estradiol, then the progesterone.
Yeah, but
you really need to look at, but if you're looking for optimal bone health, you need to be looking at all five.
Yes.
It's not one hormone.
Not just bone health.
You're trying to recreate what was giving you strong bones in your youth. And you've lost the things that made your bones strong. And if you don't put those things back, the bones will either continue to get weaker or you'll have to settle for abnormal bone architecture with something like Fosamax. That's really your choices.
Well, I'm trying to avoid the Fosamax because when I read about it, it just, as you say,
come to our
right
seminar
solution.
Next weekend.
I was just about to stand on the table and insist that Patty come to a seminar. You will love it, Patty. You just will love the seminar because he'll not only share, but he has graphs and statistics and charts and various things, and to see that you really need to do a comprehensive hormone replacement therapy. Comprehensive.
You know, Patty, Pete doesn't stand up for anything. But for you, he was going to stand on the table. That's quite a compliment.
That's right.
Well, this is a classic reason because many doctors. Yes. Anyway, Patty, I'm 7 minutes late for our break. We've got to go to a break right now. But, Patty,
I'll let you go.
Keep listening. We probably.
You try what?
Go ahead, Patty.
Well, I said I would try. I can't come to the seminar this weekend, but I could try perhaps on the Tuesday one in Linwood. Yeah. But in conventional medicine, I'm part of an HMO, you know, to navigate this and is I can talk to my doctor about it, but
they're not going to do it.
They're not going to help you. Yeah. What is it about this music that I love so much? We've been using this. We don't use all of our music forever, but this one we've been using for 20 years. I love it. Listen. I love it. It's light. It's bright. It's kind of fun. Hey, we got to go to a break. A quick reminder. You want information about all the things we do at Longevity Medical Clinic? Go to our website. Watch the videos. You'll love it. I promise. LMClinic.com.
Leading Edge Medicine.
I fly for a living, and I change in time zones and all this other stuff, and getting colds, and when I get a cold, I can't fly. I thought, well, let's give this a shot. I started taking the supplements, and I noticed less colds, so I was working, you know? So then I thought, well, let's try the rest of it. But for us, it's big improvement, and that's why we stay with it.
Life could be a dream, life could be a dream. Do, 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 shaboom.
Life could be a dream, shaboom. If I could take you up in paradise up above.
Shaboom.
If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart, hello, hello again. Shaboom, and open with me again, boom.
Hello, hello, hello again. Glad you could be with us, folks. A little new music this week. Added. We've got some of the old, some of the new, and thanks to Stephanie, I got to meet Stephanie because she got fed up with some of the oldies. She wanted some newer oldies, and so we're bringing in some newer oldies. How about that?
Although she did recommend Beatles.
Yeah. Well, well, you'll get some Beatles here. Just hang on.
Right.
It's young in the day. I think we got Beatles today. I think we might even have Elvis, but who knows?
Ooh. The King.
The King. Awesome music. Yeah. I love it.
Anyway, here we go. Last Saturday, we had Howie Beamick, one of our health advocates at Longevity Medical Clinic, in here. We snagged him down the hall and said, get in here. And he did a great job. And so that happened again with Mary Thurison. So welcome to Leading Edge Medicine, Mary.
Well, I love it. I've been here about almost 2.5 years.
That's right.
I love doing what I'm doing.
But you've been listening to the show, I happen to know.
Oh, 20 years.
Yeah, long time.
I live this stuff. I mean, I've been in nutrition, been getting certifications, reading studies since I was in high school.
That's right.
I love this stuff. You know that.
That's one of the reasons why this guy over here, Dr. Mixon, hired you.
Yeah.
To be one of our health advocates. And why don't you explain, if you're a regular listener to Leading Edge Medicine, we make available a free health analysis appointment. I talk about that at least once an hour, sometimes twice. And Mary is one of those health advocates. Last Saturday, I said, Howie was not alone. Howie is amazing. Mary is amazing. And tell us what you do in a free health analysis appointment. I think our listeners want to know.
Well, I have the opportunity to meet all sorts of people from, you know, most people are in 40s, 50s, up through 80s, right?
Sure.
Occasionally, I'll get someone in their 20s or 30s. And they come in and they just want an alternative idea of what possibly is going on with their health and with their wellness. Or they've heard the radio program. You know, the first question I ask is, have you listened to this program on Saturday morning? And so I find out why they're in there, what their issues are, what their concerns are, and then we go through their testing. And we do two tests initially. It is the HA health analysis. And in there we do, we look at the in-body composition, which I love because it really goes in depth.
Tell us about the in-body.
Okay. So in the in-body, we're looking at, you know, how much water you have inside and outside of your cells. We're looking at how much fat you have in your body. We're looking at how much bone and muscle. We're measuring all of that.
By section of your body.
By sections. That's correct. It's very cool. And then, most importantly, we're looking at your visceral fat because that is a very high marker for wellness and aging, for longevity, is keeping that biomarker in a healthy range.
Jerry, you're talking about visceral fat all the time on the
for
program.
About 20 some years.
That's right. Yeah. Why is it so important?
You'd think we'd all be tired of it by now.
No. It's an important distinction.
Well, visceral fat is not just padding for your organs. We say visceral fat. This is the fat around your organs. It's around your bowel or across the entire internal abdomen. That fat is a very active hormone-producing gland. Okay, it actually produces more than 80 different active hormones, peptides, and enzymes that predispose you to dementia, diabetes, osteoporosis, cardiovascular disease, arthritis, degenerative changes in your joints. All of that triggered by the hormone productions of visceral fat.
Does all fat produce those hormones?
No, it doesn't.
Really?
Yeah, most fat contains aromatase that will convert testosterone into estrogens.
Okay.
But the visceral fat is very active with more than 80 different things that it produces. So, you know, people think of fat as just kind of inert padding of some sort, and they don't like the way it looks. But visceral fat is very different. And because it's around your organs, inside your abdomen, under your muscles, you don't see it as well. But it is incredibly destructive.
So even people that are not fat, they look kind of normal. They can have visceral fat?
We call them the skinny fats.
Right.
Yeah. there are people, especially older folks who have undergone hormone changes we don't like. They've shifted their alpha estrogen receptors to beta receptors and so on. They can have a low body mass. They can actually look quite thin, but the percentage of fat around their organs is much higher than it ought to
so
be.
So this is why the InBody is good for everybody.
For everybody,
you know,
yes.
You go to the gym and they said, "Oh, we got to test your muscle fat comparison,
the strength." Yeah.
And they have you hold on to this little bar thing, and it tells you your fat and muscle ratios. The InBody.
It does it much more precisely over a much wider range of your body. Yeah.
So anyway, that is one of the tests
you
deal with.
It's interesting that Dr. Mixon just shared this because I actually read a couple lines every time what you just said from our sheet to everyone. So they understand the significance of what happens with the visceral fat in the body.
It's very important.
Very important.
So that's one of the tests.
Mm-hmm.
The other test is a blood test.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the purpose of that?
Well, the A1C basically measures our blood sugar levels, our insulin. And, you know, I hate to say it, but many chronic diseases are a result of our blood sugar starting to run higher. And so it's a very good indicator for us to look at the blood sugar. Up front. Now we do that even more as we do more testing.
Well,
right?
Yes. If people decide to become a patient,
that's right.
That blood test is like a teeny weeny piece of the overall blood panel.
Yes.
But it does show us some important things.
It does.
Like what?
Well, how fast we can expect your brain to shrink.
Mm-hmm.
For
exactly.
You know, the A1C is a measurement of the percentage of your red blood cells that have been damaged by sugar. A healthy, lean, non-diabetic, robust person will run a A1C down below 5. 4.4 to 5.2 is kind of the ideal. Okay. If you're in that next stage, 5.3 to about 5.6, you increase the rate of brain cell loss by about 50%.
My goodness.
If you're in the next stage of normal, now we're still talking normal, okay?
Right.
Of 5.6 to 5.9 or thereabouts, you have doubled the rate that you're going to lose brain cells compared to the baseline.
Even though that's technically not
normal.
Your
normal goes up to 6.5.
Oh, you're kidding, that far up.
Yeah, right.
Oh.
When you get over about 5.9 into the sixes, even the low sixes, which is still normal, you have more than doubled the rate that you're losing brain cells.
So when your doctor, your standard primary care physician says, hey, don't worry, this is normal for your age.
Yeah, it is. And getting slow and stupid is normal for your age. It just doesn't happen to be a good thing.
Okay, so that's why you need to know. And of course, it's just, I almost am embarrassed to say it out loud again. If you don't measure, you don't know, because you've heard Dr. Mixon say that 7,000 times here. And so we just decided a couple of years ago when we started the free health analysis appointments, we're going to do the measurement for you, at least some of it, to get started. So sometimes when I see you around the clinic, you've got one of the biggest smiles I've ever seen. You enjoy your job, don't you?
I very much enjoy it, yeah. I'll tell you what, we have great clinic supervisors. I've been at all three over the years. I've worked with all three of them. But I really enjoy working with the patients. I really enjoy seeing the light go on for them and helping them be able to say, hey, there are things that I can be doing that doctors can work with me, that they'll take the time with me and proceed and help me, you know, take control of my health, you know, in a very special way. And, you know, we're about wellness, right? And it's pretty cool what happens to, you know, I had a young man the other day who was 41 years old, and he recently came out of the military. And he, I did the HA with him, and then he proceeded to the next step, which is he did the full-blown first lab review and sat with the doctor for an hour And then I saw him after, and that was just a couple days ago, and he has decided to become a full-time patient with us. And you know what he said to me? He said, I'm doing this because I have been taught to always be prepared and to be in the best place and the best shape that I can be.
Oh my.
He was a phenomenal young man. But he said, I'm feeling the changes and the testing. If you don't measure, you don't know. The testing showed it. It was very cool. And so don't think you're too young. And this is a perfect time to go, to come in and do some testing. It really is, because as we are going through this, you know, what better way to build up your immune system?
You know, it is. I'm so glad you told that story.
Yeah.
Because that's the ideal patient, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Well, younger is better.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is it's always easier to prevent damage than it is to fix the damage after it occurs.
And you've often said, in fact, you've said it 100 times, Longevity Medical Clinic is the ultimate
preventive medicine clinic. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so we, you know, we would prefer, if I had my druthers, I'd dragoon every 25 to 30 year old in the clinic.
Not going to happen, though.
You know, because if we can start them at that age and never let them go downhill.
Yeah.
You know, don't let them get slow and weak and mentally, you know, vague. Don't let them start putting fat into their muscles and shriveling up their muscles. Don't let their heart and their lungs all decrease in capacity. You know, if we could stop this aging process basically at 30, we'd have a much better country.
Mm-hmm. The problem is, in 30s, many still have their Superman complex.
They think that they say really dumb things like, well, age is just an attitude.
Yeah.
Or age is just a number. No, it's not. Age is a harsh biological reality. And Mother Nature, she will get you.
Yes, that's right. And so 41, that is interesting. That's a little bit lower. We have a lot of people in their 40s patients. Believe me, we'd love more. They will be happy, happy, happy patients, Lord willing, for a whole long time. I became a patient at, what was I? I guess I was 50. I was 50. And, oh, my gosh, am I glad. That's another story. Mary Thurston, thank you so much. Oh, quick
yes.
ask of
yes.
you. We have a number of people right now listening. They've been on the fence. They listen to the show week after week, sometimes years after year. What do you tell them if they're still sitting on the fence?
I would say to them, what are they waiting for? Because there is so much that we can do if they would just be willing to step over the line, you know, and walk in, get the testing, sit with the doctor, and it's pretty amazing.
It's fun.
Make the commitment.
Make the
commitment.
And actually, it's a baby step, but it's the first step.
That's right.
For a free health analysis appointment. So
that's right.
I'll just quickly say, yes, you get those two tests that Mary and Dr. Mitchin were talking about. And you also get, by the way, we're still doing this, $100 of free longevity supplements.
That's right.
That's pretty cool. And so there's a lot of reasons. We're still early in 2021. Come on, folks. This can be a very good turning point, a crossroads for you. Grab one of those free health analysis appointments. Simply go to lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com, and push the schedule now button. And it's easy to do. You can make an appointment in Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. And if you're lucky, well, you're going to get one of our health advocates, maybe even Mary, right here. Thanks, Mary. All right, time for a break. And when we come back, I think we ought to take a call or two.
I've been a longevity patient at the Tacoma Clinic a little over 3 months. So I've lost a bunch of weight, improved libido. I quit drinking wine, which was not easy. I really appreciate what you do.
Last night I said these words to my girl. I know you never even tried, girl. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Leading Edge Medicine.
That's actually the Beatles.
Yes.
And that is the Beatles. I told you.
Not Leading Edge Medicine, that's the Beatles.
Well, that's the Beatles. Mary Thurston is a complete joy. She's been officially an employee here at Longevity 2.5, 3 years. We love her. Actually, Samara, how do you evaluate all of our health advocates?
Oh, aren't they amazing?
They're almost
wonderful.
It's almost we can't say enough good things them because each of them are so spectacular.
That's right. They
are the people that come in and meet them for the first time. It's kind of like these are people that could become your friends.
Yes.
And you know it in about a minute.
Yeah.
Just because they're so nice. Anyway.
Yeah. It's fun to chat with them. They walk in the office and it's like, oh, hey, nice to see you. You know, the smile goes on automatically.
Yeah. Anyway, the free health analysis appointments are available in all three of our clinics. Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. So grab one of those at lmclinic.com. And I made a mistake during the last. I forgot to give the toll-free number for those of you who want to call to make an appointment. 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. We're going to take a call or two here in just a moment. But, Jerry, you made a comment during the break about Dr. Fauci.
Yes.
Who is now making another suggestion regarding masks?
Two masks instead of one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you wear one on your left ear and the other on the right? One on your nose, one in your chin? I've watched Dr. Fauci since the beginning of this thing. And I try to cut the guy some slack. But when you look at the circles his recommendations have gone in.
Oh, they're all over the map.
In the beginning, he said, don't buy a mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, don't get masks. In fact, if you put masks on, you might touch your face and eyes more often, and you raise your risk of getting infected. And so people should not wear masks.
I remember him saying that.
Yeah. And, you know, and I raised both eyebrows at the time and said, wait a minute. If the doctors and the nurses need the masks, then you obviously think they help. And why don't you just be honest and tell folks we don't have enough masks for everybody? So let's save them for the people that are taking care of the really sick folks. But don't run around telling people they don't work. If they don't work, then the doctors and nurses don't need them either.
That's right.
You know? But they do work, and that's why the doctors and nurses needed them. And then they came around and they said, well, everybody needs a mask and you should have an N95. Well, fine. Fortunately for us, we went out and bought about 7,500 N95s so we could give them away to our patients when they came in. but there are not enough N95s for everybody to go buy one.
Not then. Yeah.
No, not now.
Oh, really?
No, still not adequate production for that. And so what they next said was everybody needs a face covering. You see those signs all over the stores? You know, you can't come in without a face covering. Well, golly gee, guys, a little tiny piece of nylon or a single layer of cotton or whatever you just pull up out, you know, off your kerchief around your face. It covers your face, but it doesn't do diddly squat to protect you against disease. If you're going to get any kind of protection, you need at least two layers of cotton. A minimum two layers, and preferably two layers with a filter in between. But, you know, they're saying, no, just any old face covering will do fine. And now he goes to the other extreme and says, not only do you need a mask, you need two masks, one on top of the other. There's no data to support that. In fact, he doesn't even try to cite data. He just says, well, it seems reasonable. Reasonable for whom? If you've got a decent mask, anybody out there that has a KN95 or an N95 mask, put that on and try to walk fast. And you'll find yourself gasping for breath in about 2 minutes. Okay. N95s work very well, but they restrict airflow significantly. The cotton masks you buy in the drugstore, they're not nearly as protective, but a two-layer cotton mask, instead of filtering out 95%, we'll filter out something in the neighborhood of 50%.
Yeah, better than nothing.
Better than nothing, but, you know, not as good as a real N95. And then when you get down to the bandanas and stuff, you're down around 15 and 20% filtration.
My goodness. What do they call those?
The neck gaiters.
Neck gaiters.
Yeah, neck gaiters. Yeah, that does. Yeah, it's silly. But, you know, you can breathe through them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get short of breath. You're real easy because they don't filter diddly squat. You're filtering 15%. You breathe just fine.
All right.
But if you put on two real masks, you're going to fall on your nose. You can't get enough air through two N95s to sustain consciousness.
Yeah. Well, interesting. You brought that up, like I said, during the break, and I thought we would just let you rant. Just a little bit.
Good.
Because you need that. It's good for your health.
Yeah, it's good for my health. Gets my blood pressure up a little bit.
Right.
You know, I had my blood pressure checked earlier today. My systolic was only 100. So, you know, I need something to raise it a little higher.
All right. I think we've got a little bit of time before the end of our first hour to take at least a short call. Let's do that now. Okay. Let's go to Woodinville. Talk with Ron. Hello, Ron. Welcome to the show.
Yes, Dr. Mixon, I called you about a month ago and said that my doctor wanted my prostate to be microwaved by a urologist.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked you if you would do that, and you said no, and you told me what you would do, a prostate arterial something or other.
Wait a minute. No, I didn't say I would do that. I said if I were going to have my prostate done, that is the method I would have used. But that is something that is done by the procedural radiologists, not by us.
You said it was the procedure was prostate arterial something or other.
Yeah, prostatic arterial embolization. Yes.
Embolization.
And embolization.
The people that do that
are procedural radiologists.
Radiologists.
Yes. These are radiologists at the hospital. And they thread a catheter into usually the femoral artery. And under imaging, they thread that catheter down into the prostate, to the arterial supply. And then they inject either some micro beads or some foam that plugs up some of the arteries to the prostate, starving that tissue of oxygen and nutrition and causing part of the prostate to die and shrivel up and go away.
And the third word in that prostate arterial?
Embolization.
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 Okay. That's what I wanted to know.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
You bet, Ron. You bet. If you are new to Leading Edge Medicine, I better tell you, we're coming to the end of the first hour. But we have another hour to go. We really do. So don't go far. We got to do the top of the hour, station ID, all that sort of jazz. And but we'll be back for hour number two. I just want to remind everybody, if there's two reasons you might want to use our new phone number. It's brand new. Just been using it. This is the second week. Things are changing at Longevity. Things are changing here on the show and at the radio station. Our new number is 866-99-ASK-US. If you have a question, you just simply that you want to ask these two fine doctors, call us at 866-99-ASK-US. Also, for you patients of Longevity, if you have a story to tell that you would like the rest of the world to know, we would love to hear it. In fact, our audience, not just the three of us here want to hear it. The audience needs to hear about real life good things that are going on with patients at Longevity. So if you'd be kind enough, you can call that number too, 866-99-ASK-US. And just a quick reminder, you can always go to our website, lmclinic.com. Make one of those free health analysis appointments. Boy, I hope you'll do that. It's still early in the year. lmclinic.com. Okay, a break. Hour number two. It'll be here before you know it. Just give us a couple of minutes. We'll be back.